This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story.
Today, as expected, the Independent Reserve Bank has increased the cash rate by 25% on Australian families and businesses.
It was just in August of last year that the Reserve Bank Board last cut interest rates, with the RBA Governor, Michelle Bullock, expressing confidence that inflation was heading in the right direction. But now, just 6 months later, the RBA has made a U-turn, raising interest rates to 3.85% after inflation ticked up again.
Now, I know this is not the news that Australians with mortgages want to hear, but it is the right thing for the economy.
Today.
Maybe dumb is a bit too harsh, but I think it's almost a cowardly move.
Guardian columnist and chief economist for the Australia Institute, Greg Jericho, on the first rate hike in over 2 years, and if there'll be more to come. It's Wednesday, the 4th of February.
Full Story is supported by Australian Industry Group, Australia's largest and most experienced industry association. From workplace laws to skills shortages and compliance, Australian businesses face challenges every day. Supporting over 60,000 businesses nationwide, Australian Industry Group is Australia's trusted business partner for compliance, advocacy and growth. Members enjoy the benefits of instant HR and legal advice, along with access to a team of experts in workplace relations, compliance, legal, skills development, apprenticeships, and more. Whether you're shaping strategy, managing people, or driving operations, Australian Industry Group exists to help businesses of all sizes thrive. Learn more and join today at australianindustrygroup.com.au.
Greg, welcome to Full Story.
Pleasure to be here.
So last week you wrote a piece for The Guardian arguing that the smart move would be to wait. The RBA board has decided to lift rates by 0.25. Does that make that decision a dumb move?
Well, they certainly didn't listen to my advice. Look, I think it is... Maybe dumb is a bit too harsh, but I think it's almost a cowardly move in that sense. I think it feels very much, when I look at the statement, that they almost feel pressured to do it. It just seems to be they've looked at the big numbers in the inflation, looked at the drop in unemployment, and kind of ignored the fact that, oh, this could be just sort of one-off monthly blips, and decided everyone thinks we should be raising rates, so we'll raise rates.
In the statement, the RBA board also said that inflation had picked up, in their view, materially in the second half of 2025, and that they consider that inflation is likely to remain above target for some time. Grogs, is that a sign of more pain to come through 2026?
Not necessarily. I mean, the market certainly is predicting at least another rate rise later on in the year. There's no real change in their forecast there. This is what they were forecasting back in November, that inflation was going to stay above their target for a bit longer most of this year. One of the reasons why I was pretty sure they would raise rates was because there has been this sense from Michelle Bullock that they're kind of looking for an excuse to raise rates. They want to raise rates purely because I think they would prefer not just inflation to be lower, but they prefer unemployment to be higher, which is a bizarre thing to wish for. And I think they were kind of given that excuse by these inflation figures, which jumped up a lot because of domestic travel and international travel in December. And that was enough for them to go, right, that gives us the green light to raise rates.
I do just want to pick up on that point. Inflation ticked up in December. That has spooked and scared many. But what does the data show us was driving inflation?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a big jump in December. In the month of December alone, inflation went up 1%, which is, you know, if you extrapolate that over 12 months, that's inflation running at 12%, which is pretty insane. You know, that's real sort of 1970s style stuff. But the whole reason for that uptick was increases in prices of international travel and domestic travel. And a lot of that was due to the ASHES. If you took away all of the impact of holiday travel and accommodation, inflation would have been flat, like zero. So I was not so spooked. I mean, I was kind of spooked when I saw the number, and then when I actually looked at the numbers and go, oh, yeah, it's due to domestic travel, international travel. None of these have got anything to do with whether or not the Reserve Bank raises interest rates. It's because we had an abnormal thing happening in December. Well, let's forget that and carry on. But as I say, I think the Reserve Bank felt the pressure to act. There was a lot of reporting around saying, oh, you've got to raise rates to restore your credibility. If you don't do this, clearly you're not true in your desires to keep inflation under control. And I think it's a bit worrying that the Reserve Bank might be getting spooked into acting rather than worrying about what's actually going on.
You've described this decision as a cowardly one. Would there have been any risk in waiting?
Oh, look, I think the risk is that, you know, next month inflation goes up even further. I think that risk is actually kind of low given what really led to the inflation bouncing up as much as it did in December. But the whole point about interest rates, and this is what we always need to come back to, when you say, oh, they're raising interest rates to keep inflation down. Well, interest rates don't have an effect on prices. It's not like shops are out there going, oh, they've raised interest rates, I've got to raise my prices next week. What it's about is people with mortgages suddenly have to spend more on their mortgage, which means they have less money to spend in the shops or on services. And because of that, business is like, well, I'm not going to hire as many people, or I might have to cut back on hours. And that means that people who are working don't advocate for higher wages than perhaps they otherwise would have, because they're like, oh, I better just make sure I keep my job or keep my hours and I won't sort of drive for more higher wages. But again, if we strip back and look at it, what's been happening to wages? Well, they've been slowing. So I kind of feel like, as often happens with the Reserve Bank, they've got that one big tool and they always feel they have to use it. And they see it as a solution to every problem purely because it's the only tool they've got. And my worry is that, yeah, it's going to hurt a lot of people. It probably will reduce inflation, but that's purely because it's going to hurt people, hurt businesses. But was it needed? I don't know.
Mm. I do want to ask you about some of the commentary and analysis that's been around over recent days. We know that throughout 2025, the RBA cut the cash rate 3 times. The ABC's Alan Kohler this week wrote that last year's cuts look like a bit of a mistake, and he said that raising rates 6 months after the last cut is not a good look. As someone who advocated for rate cuts throughout last year, what do you make of that?
Well, I can see where he's coming from, and most of what Alan was talking about was the fact that house prices have really begun to pick up. Well, one of the problems the Reserve Bank could not have anticipated was the government was going to do a 5% deposit guarantee for first home buyers, which really set house prices going because investors wanted to get in before that happened. And after it happened, first home buyers were flooding the market. So that's had a bit of an impact to play. But also, I think if we go back to then, you look at how the economy was doing, it wasn't doing great. And I think this belief that, oh, they should have been tougher for longer because that would have got inflation down. Yeah, but what if unemployment was now 4.7 if they'd done that?
Mm.
There's this view that, oh, you almost have to go hard, kill off the economy so that inflation goes, you know, down to 2% or something. And that is one way of doing it. We did that in the 1990s when we rose interest rates to 70%. Yeah, it killed inflation, killed the economy as well. What the Reserve Bank is trying to do is trying to keep inflation down, but not send unemployment skyrocketing. Now, yeah, I might be criticizing the RBA today and I might have said they should have, you know, raised them early in the past, but, you know, on the balance, I don't want to go back and say, oh, they were wrong to do it back then, because I think back then, if anyone goes back and looks at that economy back in the start of last year and through in the first half of last year, there was nothing strong about it. If you're saying, oh, it's strong now, private demand is growing. Well, why do you think private demand's growing? They cut interest rates. They got things going again.
We'll be right back. You would have seen that as the RBA board was deliberating its latest decision, some business leaders argued that government spending should be cut by $50 billion a year to help tackle this problem of persistent inflation. Is government spending to blame for fueling inflation?
Yeah, I saw the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry call for a $50 billion cut in government spending. They really could have just put their headline of their media releases, ACCI calls for a recession, because that's pretty much what we would have got. We're talking a 2% of GDP cut in government spending. We have never seen that in the past. You know, since the 1990s recession, since the 1980s, we have never seen such a cut in government spending like that, except for the 2 years once we got out of the pandemic and we had to unwind all of that massive stimulus. This would be one of the biggest austerity cuts of all time in Australian history at a time when the private sector is only just sort of getting back on its legs and get going. It's like, no, this is crazy. Yes, government spending is strong. Part of the reason it's big is we got an NDIS. We didn't have an NDIS in the past. And NDIS spending is not really fueling this inflation. Take away the NDIS and spending on disability support, and government spending is pretty much round average. There are lots of other things that are putting pressures on the economy and putting pressures on prices. If you think of things like, compare how much is being spent and investment in new coal and gas and oil mines around the country, much more than we're spending on building infrastructure for roads and rail and various things. And it's like, well, that's actually at the moment a real contest for labor, because, you know, we do have low inflation and yet we're still sort of approving a lot of these big mining projects that probably are actually making it harder for people to build homes, for local governments to find workers, to build roads and all other things. So, yeah, I don't fall into the line of thinking it's the public sector that's driving inflation. It's not that at all.
What levers would you pull to give people some relief or at least provide some hope?
You know, relief can sometimes be a double-edged sword. If they're going to hand out tax cuts to people, well, that actually could fuel inflation. It's like, okay, I've given you a tax cut and now you're going to get an interest rate rise. Is that what we want? One of the things I think you should resist is these calls to massively cut government spending. What they should actually be looking at is, if they're worried about government spending, it's not really so much government spending they need to worry about, it's that size of the budget deficit. Because budget deficits are, in a sense, the government adding into the economy. So they might want to lower the budget deficit, but you don't need to do that by cutting interest rates. You could do it by raising more tax the gas industry. You know, the ACTU at the moment is calling for a 25% tax on gas exports. That would raise, you know, we're talking of the order of $15 billion. We've also seen unions today come out arguing for reducing the capital gains tax discount from 50% to 25%. Well, that's something that actually will also have an impact on house prices, because that takes away a lot of the incentive for investors in the housing market. It reduces that. So I think they need to look at actually getting rid of some of these loopholes, stop wasting money subsidizing fossil fuel industries with diesel rebates and things like that that they don't need. But at the moment, a lot of people are doing it tough still at the lower end. Job seekers still 40% below the poverty line or something around there. If I was worried about people who are really doing it tough, that's where I'd be focusing, at the lower end of the scale. But I would highly recommend against following the business councils and ACCI's advice.
Well, Grogs, we really appreciate you jumping on the mic for us and sharing your thoughts. Thanks so much.
No problem. It's great to chat.
That was Guardian columnist and chief economist at the Australia Institute, Greg Jericho. And we've linked to his latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert and Alison Chan. Sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget, you can subscribe or follow Full Story, and you can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.